Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So here's the thing. Yesterday, we recorded the podcast all about technological cock-ups at work. It was great. It was very funny. We're all in good spirits. And then one of us, who will remain nameless, of course, managed to have a bit of a technological mishap of their own and delete all the audio files. So I'm afraid there isn't any podcast. However, we did notice that this would have been our 21st episode. So what we've done this morning is gone through and picked out some of the bits that have tickled us most over the weeks and months. So I do hope you enjoy listening and raise a glass to our 21st birthday celebrations. Kind of, sort of, if it works.
So this podcast is all about us trying to create like a virtual support group for all the people out there who are dealing with all of the shenanigans, the malarkey, the mingers. I'm obsessed with mingers, and I'm going to start with mingers. Yeah. Right, because, okay. Listen to this though,
okay,
Claire.
Go for
right.
It. Go for it.
So I was going for a wee at work the other day, right?
Is that too much information?
Well, no, we all wee.
Okay, go for it.
Anyway, and also, do you ever find this where you go to the loo at work and you want to make sure the toilets are totally empty before you wee?
Yeah, it's a funny thing that, isn't it?
In case you
relax into it.
Yeah, exactly. I can't go for a wee if anyone else is there. Or I'll flush the chain and have the wee while the chain's flushing to cover the noise.
Do you know what I do? When, you know, you've been in the toilet and you're out washing your hands, hopefully everyone washes their hands.
Yeah, of course.
I always put the dryer on for people so that they don't feel uncomfortable.
Do you?
So they can, yeah, go for it, wee in peace. Go for it. Well, not peace because the dryer's blowing, but, you know.
Yeah. You might make them feel uncomfortable because they might think, oh my God, she knows I'm having a number two.
Nah, no. They'd not be thinking about that at that point. They'd be just going for it.
Anyway.
As soon as that dryer starts, they'll be doing it.
I know, knowing my luck, it'll be the dryer will be covering the straining, and then when the actual happens,
God.
The dryer will finish.
That's just, yeah, Steph.
Anyway, so I was having a wee at work the other day.
Okay.
And on the door of the toilet was a note to the person who wipes their snot on the wall.
Oh, God.
And then in capital letters, please stop. It's horrible for your colleagues who see it, and it's unpleasant for the cleaners. Happy to discuss. And then they put their name. Happy to discuss!
That's disgusting. Who wipes their snot on the...
And also, I've got a lot of questions here. You sat next to a toilet, right?
Yeah.
No, you sat on...
Well, there's two ones. Some
right.
Some bathrooms have two toilets in.
Do they?
In the same cubicle, yeah.
In your
not
office?
In work, not in work. In bars, really.
You've been to bars where they've got two toilets
in the
same cubicle?
Yeah. I'm sure there is, yeah. Unless I was really drunk.
So double vision.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And did you go to the toilet while someone else did?
No, I just went by myself. But
is that so girls who've got the little nights out?
Yeah.
Help
each other out, yeah.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
No.
Anyway, so I was sat on the toilet. First of all, if you're sitting on the loo, you're next to toilet roll, why not just wipe it on the toilet roll?
Yeah, totally. Or blow your nose.
Yeah.
So who sits on the toilet and goes, like, my nose is running or I've got a few snots, I'm just going to... Oh, actually, that's making us feel sick.
Also, how often has it had to happen for someone to actually bother to write a note about it?
Yeah, that's disgusting.
It's minging. And what does this person who's written this note want to discuss? If they're happy to discuss, what are they going to discuss?
I wonder what they're going to help.
So I tweeted about this because, first of all, I couldn't stop laughing at this note because I just thought, how funny
is
this?
Yeah.
And how common is this is what I was wondering. I got 102 tweets from people who'd all said similar things happened in their workplace. So listen to this, right? Kirsty said, we had that where I used to work. Disgusting. So I sent a mail to all the ladies saying the same and it stopped. And Gillian said as well, we used to have a similar problem in our office, but it must have been a flicker because there was a large variance in the bogey placement. So someone sat there on the loo, picking the nose and then flicking it.
How long are people in the toilets for?
I was telling my mate about this, a bloke, and he was saying to me it happened in the male toilet where he worked, right? So the head of HR put a circle round all of the bogeys and numbered them and then sent an email round saying, no more. And it stopped.
That is brilliant. So that's the thing, isn't it? So anything that goes on in a toilet, like a bathroom or anything, there's something circulated, isn't there, to kind of go, you know what? I'm going to shame you. I'm going to embarrass you.
But then don't you start looking at everyone?
Yes, and looking at their nose.
Yeah, and going, who is it? And then going, I've noticed so-and-so. It was a bit of a picker. Because you must have seen people in the office
totally,
who pick.
Yeah. Some people forget. They're so engrossed, aren't they, in work, if they're working.
They're less likely to be the culprit, though, aren't they? If they've already picked away, they've got a clean bill of
health. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. What if someone's got like a little, I don't know, like a, they don't realise they're doing it.
In an office once, I knocked a colleague's pen on the floor by accident. When ordered to pick it up, I refused. So he came to my desk and threw one of my pens on the floor. We never spoke to each other again, and both pens stayed on the floor for 6 months. That's brilliant! Over a pen!
Do you reckon
six months?
Yeah.
Where was this? Does it say what it was? It's an office?
Yeah, it was in an office. But isn't that brilliant? Because first of all, if someone accidentally knocked your pen on the floor, you wouldn't kick off, would you?
No,
yeah,
you
but
wouldn't.
You would pick it up, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's a good point. But if someone ordered you to pick it up, would you pick it up?
Oh, no, that's the point where you...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I probably would. But actually, that's really rude.
It is.
That would annoy you.
How
and it
come
would
nobody
go...
else in the office just picked up the pens that were lying on the floor?
Yeah. Because it's a statement. They were statement pens.
Well, everyone else in the office
imagine
is just
though,
like, well, I'm not
imagine,
stepping around a bloody pen
exactly,
for 6 months.
Imagine you're sitting there just typing away and you just hear these two going, you pick it up. No, you pick it up.
Imagine being the person who goes over to the desk, picks up their pen and throws it on the floor.
I bet there was tension before that.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, too right.
Do you think there's a backstory?
I do, yeah.
If there oh, can we
get in touch?
Get in touch.
Yeah, I will. I'll message this person and ask them.
Going on upstairs.
I don't know. It's them pen pushers. They're raging, aren't they? They're now throwing chairs.
They've developed.
I reckon there's back history. Defo.
People
definitely
can get really annoyed dead easily at work.
But that happens at work and people do get irritated, don't you? And then it just blows up. I bet they've done it before.
Oh,
I bet that's not been the first time and I bet this has
offender.
Been the final push. Yep. You pick it up.
I'm not picking it up.
You pick it. No, you
I'm
pick
not
it,
picking
up.
It up.
Exactly.
You pick it up.
You pick it up.
You pick it
Birdie.
Up.
Birdie.
So
like
okay,
that.
So they're going to arbitration. These two.
Yep.
What do you say?
Sort it out.
Is that it,
guys?
Well,
can we? Yeah. Easy as that. Get it sorted. Imagine.
You know, I think you'd have to do a countdown, and then they each have to pick the other person's pen up.
Yeah,
like
the showdown.
It'll be a
pick
showdown.
Up the pens. I wonder if a cleaner hoovered around their pens.
Do you reckon it became like a crime scene and there was a big circle around it? And
that would have been amazing. I would just be like, speak to each other and pick up the pen. Or don't speak to each other, but pick up the pens and just move on.
There are so many things that happen in the workplace, though, that lead to these ridiculous arguments.
Yeah.
I was having a particularly tricky day at work and my boss was really annoying me. I was chatting to one of my colleagues sitting opposite me about how awful she was. Then the boss... goes over. You already know the story? No. Is that just a gasp you do?
A gasp. Sorry. That was like,
what's going to happen next?
Yes.
Then the boss goes over to my colleague's desk, barking at her. So I wrote a supportive message to send to my friend, which said, tell Grotbags to go and F herself, basically. But accidentally, I sent it to my boss. and not to the friend. I ran straight away in to see my boss to tell her it wasn't for her, but the damage was done.
The damage has been done.
What do you do?
Grot bags as well.
Grot bags is a rubbish insult. Can I just say grot bags?
That's a good one. What, like a green witch from who used to scare you when you were a kid? I think that's quite a good one.
You don't want to be called anything as a boss though, do you? Grot bags isn't exactly complimentary, is it?
It's not complimentary, but there are worse things. That T word that she was on about last time.
Oh, yeah.
What, so you think would have been worse if it said, tell the twat to go and...
Oh, are you kidding?
See, I think grot bags is just as bad.
It's not exactly complimentary, is it?
No, but it's something you'd call somebody in the playground.
Yeah, calling your boss anything is
risky. It is. Anyway, back to the main point.
It's risky, isn't it?
So, what would you do in this situation? You've just called your boss an unsavoury name.
The boss has seen the email.
Well, we assume the boss has seen the email. What would you do, Claire?
Oh, damage has been done.
Would you go in and apologise?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Would you?
I mean, can I just clarify that I wouldn't send such an email in the first place?
So you've never sent a message to your mates lagging off your boss?
No.
No way!
No!
Or anybody? You've never sent a message to someone you know?
Certainly not an email, no.
So you do it in a more devious way?
Well, I wouldn't, but yes, there would be other ways to do it, yeah.
Because I've totally...
People do talk as well. Sorry, Steph, go on.
No, go on.
Go on.
So what would you do, right, if... So you've decided not to go and confront the boss, right, and then the boss comes over to you. What do you do? Do you like, apologise? Do you pretend...
I would just pretend and say, oh, God, did you get that email as well?
What, as if everyone in the office sent it?
Yeah,
That's a good chant, that. I like that.
That's quick thinking.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I mean, it's gaslighting, though, isn't it? You lodge that doubt in the boss's mind.
Yeah, because also, what we know about Claire is she goes around making out as if she's this lovely person. But
Underneath.
Don't say that. Can I just say I would never send that email in the first place?
You have.
But I haven't.
No, but you have in this situation. You have said
right, in the pretend. I was like, I haven't. I really haven't. I promise. Yeah. Look, I've even got my hands up for those who can't see through the, you know.
Through the what?
Through the microphone. Through the podcast screen. I'm protesting. I have not done this. But can I just also say that our emails are checked as well?
What do you mean?
Our emails are monitored.
For what?
You can be checked for anything.
For grot bag references.
Yeah.
So what?
Any swearing or anything, yeah, it gets picked up by the ICT department.
So what happens if I send you an abusive message?
I get pulled in.
Do you?
Yeah, God, yeah, yeah.
And then what would you get in trouble for the message?
Well, no, because if I responded to you, then I'm acknowledging that email. So...
That'll explain why you never reply to my emails.
I never get them.
Oh, we're both working from home in separate rooms, taking turns to make a cuppa. I've made three, he's made one, but he did get up earlier than me to take the dog out, so I probably shouldn't complain. So it's a really lovely, nice tweet. Anyway, clearly our partner's then just replied and written, you made two. So it just totally correct.
That's brilliant.
This is exactly what we've been discussing here. My wife drinks literally about 15 cups of tea a day. I'm not going to be making half the cups of tea to keep it a parity there. And yet I'm getting the bloody stink eye when she's walking to the kettle. Like, she's just put one out and she's looking to me to make the next bloody cup of tea.
What's a stink eye?
I think it's just a dirty look, isn't it?
Oh, right.
So I'm going to try the stink eye on you. Hang on. So I've made five brews and you've not made any, Steph. Okay. So here you go. I'm on the way to the kettle. I walk past you.
That looks like you're giving me sexy eyes.
Oh my God, I'm hiding my face. That's hilarious.
What tips would you have then for people who are working from home with their partner or their pet or children? Claire?
I'm going to give Jeff one. Start making more cups of tea for your wife.
Fair enough. I will.
Jeff?
Remove the wood from your own eye or whatever it is before you start.
What?
You know the saying.
Right. No. Claire always gives really practical advice, like brush your teeth or, you know, make your wife cups of tea. Yours is like lay your mat straight or take the wood out of your eye. Like, what the are you on about? Have you ever been out?
The point I'm trying to make is stop assuming that it's everyone else's fault but your own. So take stock of yourself.
before you start going on social media and slagging off your wife, slagging off your kids and thinking you're all that, when actually you're just a dick. So there.
Right. Jesus Christ.
I think you should just say that people just need to adapt. There you go.
Yeah. Thanks, Claire.
I've had a point where I was handing out awards on the stage and loads of mad things have happened. One was a girl had clearly been dared by her team to like cartwheel across the stage. So she was, but she was hammered. So she did a cartwheel in a dress and fell off the back of the stage.
Oh no.
And literally I had to pick her up off the floor and get up. And you could see like, rather than laughing, there was just like a gasp and people were mortified.
I bet some people were secretly loving that.
But the thing is, she was totally fine because she was hammered and she offered to do it again.
So you fell off the stage because you were dancing too vigorously?
So, nah, that definitely wasn't the case. The big stage I fell off was, I think we were in Germany or somewhere. It was a proper arena and we were drilling. So it meant that you were doing your steps over and over again and it was like practicing.
I thought you meant like doing a bit of
DIY. No, I know it's called drilling. It's like repeating your steps over and over again and it's like practicing. So there's no audience at this point. And so I was to the left of the set in front and I just thought, do you know what? The dance captain hasn't seen us. Therefore, she hasn't asked us to get up.
The what?
The dance captain.
He's a dance captain.
Yeah, so yeah. So I kind of was like having a bit of crack and I was shuffling backwards and I just thought it was great that she couldn't see me. And then I went too far and I fell off this massive arena stage. But I got lucky because in these sort of arenas, they've got those massive, big, thick velvet curtains. And it happened to be bunched up at the side of the stage and I fell on top of the curtain. So I was saved, yeah.
So everyone popped up their heads over the edge of the stage?
Just looking over like this, Jeff.
And you were legs akimbo on this big velvety...
Yeah. Quite embarrassing.
It's such a glamorous
then she knew that I wasn't obviously on stage.
So when you were dancing for a living, what was it like going out with a bunch of dancers?
Yeah, well, that would lead us into the second story.
Well, go on then.
So
I
think because you work so hard, you travel and you're away from home quite a lot, the natural thing to do is to either go down to the hotel bar or go out. And this time I think I was in Taiwan. There was a stage and I'd had quite a bit to drink and we're all having a really good night.
Are we in a bar?
And there was a much smaller stage and I mean like very small. I got on the stage, I had a really good night, I was a bit leery, and I started singing Newcastle United songs, right?
When in Taiwan, you know?
Exactly, I was going home, I felt the mood, and it was the N, an E, a W, C, an A, an S, a T, a L, a U, and an N, and an I, T, D. Newcastle United, and then I think probably at the FC bit, I fell off that small stage. And I tore all my ligaments. Yeah.
Did you?
And I had to be... I'm mortified, actually, the more I think about it.
I'm like, Claire, come on. And we were walking in and you just were like shaking your head. And I was like, Claire, come on. And I thought, oh God, maybe she's just gone all shy or something.
It's been aloof.
Yeah, being a loop. And so I go over and I'm like, Claire, man, what are you doing? Come on. And she just pointed down at the floor and the woman holding the camera was stood on the back of her dress and she couldn't move.
So you didn't think to say...
No, because I didn't want to interrupt her because she was filming. So I wanted to wait until she filmed her piece. And then I was just kind of like, you know, you're moving forward and you're not going anywhere because she was firmly... on the dress.
Yeah.
Wasn't going anywhere.
The camera was pointing at me at this point. So I'm like thinking, why is my friend not talking to me? And then I had to tap the camera woman. Even though the camera was pointing at my face, I had to tap the camera woman on the shoulder and go, you stood on me mate's dress, love.
She was mortified.
She was totally.
Oh, she was so lovely. She was like, thank you so much for letting me finish that as well. I was like, I'm so sorry.
I remember when I worked at Black & Decker and the boss there made me go and get dog food for his dog from the local pet shop because it was Bull's Pizzles.
Bull's Pizzles?
Yeah.
So you had to go and ask for Bull's Pizzles?
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
No.
It's the naughty bit of a bull.
What?
Bull's Pizzles. It's like a penis.
What?
That's
foot dog
pet
seat.
Pet shop? What?
Yeah.
My dog doesn't eat that.
Thank God. But yeah, have you never heard that? Bull's Pizzles.
Oddly, no.
Yeah.
I've never come across.
I had to go and buy them, and I didn't know what they were. I was there doing an engineering apprenticeship, so it was totally irrelevant going
and
to...
How are they served up in the
like in a
shop?
Bag?
Or chopped up? Not in a big...
I don't know. I didn't look too closely, to be honest. Because then I Googled what they were, and I was like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that's quite a weird thing to get somebody to do, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Can you go that's there? Quite... But I quite enjoyed it, because it meant I got to drive his, like, posh work car. So I'd be like driving down the road, blasting the music out, and I'd purposefully leave the music on really, really loud in the car. So when he started the car, it would be like boom, loads of really loud music.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, oh, yeah, look at you with all your
assumptions.
Yeah.
Maybe they were glad to get that job.
What, doing the plans?
Yeah, no, they said they were. Like you're right. Not listening.
It doesn't sound like it. I think the tequila's clouding your...
It wasn't tequila, it was Sambuca.
It was both, actually.
No, you had tequila as well.
They ran out of Sambuca, so you had tequila as well.
You just...
And you know what? By the time I got to you with the lemon and salt, you'd already done the shot. Sat through her interview with her legs crossed, opposite a table behind which were 5 interviewers. By the end of the interview, she had a dead leg, but didn't realise until she stood up and fell over. 5 faces peered over the desk and she said, "I'll have to stay here until the feeling comes back," she said. 10 minutes of small talk later, she was able to get up and leave the room.
That is so funny.
Did they bring the next person in?
No, they couldn't, could they? That happened to me on a date once.
Did it?
Yes. So I sometimes sit, as I'm doing now, I suppose, I mean, I'm trying to get my back comfy, but I sit sometimes and I just kind of, I get comfy quite quickly. So I'd been in this bar and it was a really funky bar and I had like a leg tucked under. So, you know, when you kind of sit, I don't know, Jeff, you might not, you girls sometimes sit with their legs up and kind of, you still kind of hopefully look cool. So I'm sitting there, and then obviously the drinks were...
She doesn't mean, like, legs up behind her head or anything.
No,
she just means, like...
obviously not.
Jeff is now trying to sit with his knee up.
And so it comes to leaving the bar, and we get up to walk away, and then he's standing there waiting for me to move, and I was like, oh, my God, I've got such a dead leg. This is awful. And I was like, no, you go on. You can weave your way through the crowd type thing. And I literally, like... I was up and down, you know, when you're walking, I couldn't walk properly. So my other leg was dropping every time I tried to pull it down. And then I walked past this, I remember this group of girls, and they were so cool from the year, like a couple of years above us. And I was just like, oh God, this is so embarrassing. So I really tried to like style it out, but luckily I didn't have to lie down on the floor. Otherwise that would have been really weird in the bar.
And I would have been dumped pretty quickly.
If you'd have fallen over.
I'd have had to make a scene.
So did he just leave you in the end? Because he took so long to drag your leg through.
I was cool. I made him go in front. I was clever. I was cool about it.
This is really common, though. So Caroline on Twitter said it happened to her friend as well. He got up at the end of the interview after crossing his legs and just fell over. And Deborah had a similar thing to you, Claire. She's like, that happened to me. When I stood up, my leg was dead. I had to walk down a flight of stairs in front of my interviewers, grabbing onto the handrail, making weird howling noises with every step.
That is so funny. I've got
You would just be mortified.
Of course you would. You'd be. But the thing is, I have a problem in that I would make something of this. I would talk everybody through what I was doing because I'm stupid like that. You know, when you kind of you make a scene, you're embarrassed, but actually you make sure everyone in the room knows that you're embarrassed, but you have a bit crack about it. I wouldn't get hired on that reason. They'd be like, oh, Jesus Christ, we need to get her out. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that the way you handle it shows a lot about you, though, doesn't it? Because both of these people, actually all three of these people who've told us these stories got the job.
There you go. It shows a bit of a personality.
Yeah, exactly. Gary says, I once got cramp in the middle of an interview. Ooh. It was so bad, I jumped up in pain, hopping around in a suit, clutching my calf. The two interviewers just sat there, mouths open, while I'm rubbing my calf.
I love this.
Is this first episode all about people who've had muscle cramps in an interview? How many categories have you got?
There is so much pressure to be sociable now. I mean, we're not allowed to physically see each other because of all the social distancing. But my God, everyone's obsessed with having flaming Zooms or house parties or online bars or online quizzes. I've had enough. I just want to sit in my pants on a Friday and have a glass of wine. So I worked at a global company's headquarters on Teesside. Yay, come on, son. I was at that. They hadn't written that. That was just me ad-libbing. I was asked to keep the IT specialist talking. He travelled up from London until my male boss took his makeup and mask off. The boss had dressed up as a character from a Rocky Horror show to present someone's retirement gift.
Brilliant. That is brilliant. I like that boss.
Yeah. Can you imagine that, though? Oh, no. One of the big bosses from London's coming up. Quick, I'm in a basket. Get it off. Yeah.
I like that.
I was in the interview. It was going well. And then my overnight bag started to vibrate and sounded really suspicious. It wasn't anything bad. It was just my electric toothbrush. But for some reason, I was so caught up in the interview, I didn't just say, ah, that's my electric toothbrush, I'll turn it off. I just carried on and ignored it, making it seem even more like it was a massive vibrator going off in my bag. At the end of the interview, the interviewer said, thanks for your time, we'll be in touch, but you've obviously got bigger things to be dealing with at the moment.
Stop. That is so funny. You know what
what would you do?
So I probably would have totally made reference to the fact that it was an electric toothbrush, but absolutely not a vibrator. So even if it wasn't in their minds, that's what I would say.
No, Claire, I can guarantee that's not what you would do. Do you know what you'd do? You'd say something to try and cover it and then make it sound worse. You'd probably say, oh, look at that big vibration in my bag. And then, do you remember when we talked about this on one of the first podcasts, when you touched your boss's leg by accident, or you thought you had, and you said, what a big leg you've got.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. That's all what I would do.
Years ago, my beloved went for an interview for a teaching post at a leading independent school. She'd done the tour of the school, the example lesson, and had lunch with a few senior teachers. All was going well, despite having something of a troubled tum. It's just nerves, she thought.
Oh, no.
There was just the interview to go, and the four candidates were put in a comfortable lounge, and one by one, they went for their interview before being released back into the world. Finally, my wife was the last one in the room. The rumbling was getting worse, and she thought that if she
can I just stop? Can I just leave now? Because yeah. I don't want it. This is only going one way.
Honestly, you can't see me off camera. Oh, no. Honestly.
I bet you can't guess the punchline, though. I bet you can't guess it.
Go on.
Finally, my wife was the last one in the room. The rumbling was getting worse, and she thought that if she just tried a little trump, she would be more than comfortable. Big mistake.
Oh, no.
Full on shat. In a panic, she slithered and squelched the ladies to survey the damage.
Oh no,
make
this feel sick. Oh no.
It was a disaster, and her drawers were beyond salvation. So she cleaned herself up as best she could and threw the offending items out of the window. Moments after she returned to the waiting room, she was called to interview. She wasn't on her best form because throughout she kept glancing out of the window to see her shitty pants had come to rest on the roof right outside the headmaster's office.
Oh, God. I have no words for this.
So she'd lobbed them out and then landed on the roof where she was doing the interview, and she could see them out of the window the whole time while she's doing the interview.
You know. Steph. I couldn't.
There, but for the grace of God.
I could not have guessed that. I did not know where that was going, but that wasn't where it was going. Oh, my
God.
Did she get the job? No, did she? I wouldn't take
it. She declined on the grounds she could never set foot in the place again out of shame.
Same, that I could not go back. That is hilarious. Steph.
Oh, my God.
That is so funny, but watching you laugh is even funnier. I don't get as irritated in the house, I have to be honest. Quite often at work, I get irritated by the littlest things, and that's really not like me. So I'm just me at home. I'm a better version of myself, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, she's turning into a life coach, Jeff.
It's like a self-help bloody book, isn't it? Look at me. I'm the best version of myself.
No, I am. I'm just a happier little chick. Just being in the house.
Sorry. Something in my throat.
It's not meant to make anyone feel sick. Hashtag be kind.
Bloody hell, Claire. Enough. Where's that? Pass the bin.
No. Claire, have you been like in him? Worry dust, doesn't
it? No, I'm just bloody happy. Honestly, my pleasure is sitting at the window watching those online delivery vans drive by. It's like every time I see one go by, I'm like, oh, I wish that was mine. We had a fruit delivery the other day from a local market, which was beautiful. I've never, ever, ever, ever wished for fruit so much in my life. Every mouthful was just pure delight. But I have to say, I love this. I'm sure I was made for home isolation. I bloody love it. I love working from home. I love being around everyone. I'm so happy. Apart from the lack of good food, I'm really happy.
I'm not going to tell you what my wife's just done to try and distract me.
Oh.
What?
She just stood outside in the garden.
She's flashed, hasn't she?
Yes.
I knew it.
Yes.
I knew it. That's brilliant. See, your backdrop's better than anyone else's. Steph's got a sleeping guy in a van. I've got nothing. And Jeff's got a flashing wife. Brilliant.
We all know who's in the better position here than Jeff, so stop your ranting.
We do.
You've got it good. Georgina said, and this is my favourite message of the episode. Oh my God, I was killing myself laughing at this. Georgina said, I feel your pain. I have had my scrub bottoms fall down at work. Unfortunately, I was assisting in an operation at the time. And as trousers are not considered sterile, I could not pull them up again until after I had finished the case.
No way.
So...
No way.
So there they are in theatre doing
a serious... Oh, my God, Georgina.
...operation. And her scrub trousers fell down, and there she is, just like... I don't know what she's wearing underneath.
In her pants.
Potentially her pants.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's my worst nightmare.
It's Wednesday afternoon gym class again.
But I love, like, you could get away with it, couldn't you, if you could quickly whip them up again, but the fact she couldn't.
How awkward for her. Like, how can you concentrate when you know your pants are down your, by your ankles?
I know, and
oh
she says
God,
as well.
The poor thing.
She says she disguised it from the consultant, but all the theatre team were laughing. Can you imagine? You'd be like, I'd get the giggles. That'd be me gone if someone was stood there. And especially because it's all like, pass me the scalpel.
So serious.
10 more litres of oxygen, whatever. This is all my...
The whole Dr. Kildare.
Yeah, yeah. The tachycardic, whatever that means. I've heard it on Casualty. and all this is going on. And literally, she still can't pull her trousers up.
So she must have been on the other side of the table from the consultant.
Yeah.
Trying to duck down.
Could it be hours?
What did you do?
How long were they in service?
Well, it could have been hours, couldn't it?
You've got to find out. Could have been hours.
Oh, could have been
hours? And imagine if she had to go and fetch something, she'd have to shuffle over.
And safety hazard as well. She'd have to shuffle along.
I love the thought of that.
Shuffle there and shuffle back. That's a really good comedy scare.
There you go.
Why don't casually do that?
You wouldn't want to distract the consultant either, would you? If he or she is doing a major operation. And then, yeah. And then you waddle off.
Shuffle along and shuffle back.
Oh my God.
The poor chick, the poor thing.
Where are you holding that scalpel?
I wonder as well whether the patient...
I can't believe they can't do that.
Well...
That's mad.
Yeah, sterile, but then what about... Oh my God, I can't breathe. This is too funny though, isn't it? Like...
Was the patient under general anaesthetic?
Well, this is it. What if they're awake and they're like, why? Oh my God.
What's going on here?
Why have they come to? Why are
they just glancing down? Yeah. Oh my God, you'd be terrified. Your pants are down. You'd be like, what's going on here?
Imagine you came to in the middle of it.
What, a bunch of clowns are looking after me.
You think you were dead?
That's mental. That's so funny.
Anyway, Georgina, thank you.
That's brilliant.
I mean, that's just entertained me no end, that. So this is a person who said they've had loads of funny things happen to them in interviews. But the worst was when the guy doing the interviewing for a marketing job threw a pencil at me across the table in the middle of the questions. I guess now in hindsight, I was meant to do something cool or ignore it entirely. But I picked it up and threw it back at him. It hit him in the eye and he ended up swirling around on the floor telling me to get him wet tissues. I didn't get the job.
Oh my God. What made her fire it back?
I suppose they were just looking for your reaction, weren't they? Like, how would you cope if someone just threw a pencil at you? Obviously, this person interviewing thinks that's going to tell you a lot about whether they'd be good in marketing. I've got no idea.
I think that's a brilliant response that just slightly went awry with the whole blinding the fella.
I don't know if that would be my first response. I don't think I'd fire it back at them.
Presumably, he didn't throw it as a weapon. He just kind of threw it towards him and he didn't kind of throw it like a dart.
I suppose it's one of those that have to be there.
Well, many moons ago I worked as an operations director in a theatre and we were recruiting front of house staff, formerly ushers. This young lad turned up for the interview in his best suit, his CV beautifully typed, and he was fully prepped. You could tell he'd rehearsed every possible answer with his parents and he'd been told to answer quickly, confidently, and whatever was asked of him, he should nod, smile and say yes. He wanted this job, he beamed, he was confident and was enthusiastic to the point of bursting. Myself and the HR manager went through the job role and he nodded excitedly. In fact, I could have said he had to jump off the building to get the job and he would have agreed. So he wanted to make a good impression. I love him already. Aww. I'm like, oh.
I know.
Towards the end of the interview and with lots of ticks to his name, I mentioned that the job didn't have set times. Sometimes he'd be required at 9 in the morning when the theatre had a conference, sometimes 2 in the afternoon when there was a matinee. There would be evening work and weekends. Again, he smiled eagerly. So I asked, with all of this in mind, how flexible are you? And within a heartbeat, he replied, bursting with enthusiasm, very, I can do a forward roll and... and a handstand. The room fell silent.
Oh. visions of him in the theatre. Off the stage to the Rolling Stones. And then finale in the split.
And you can just imagine when the asteroid flexibly jumps up and...
Ta-da!
Oh, I can't see now. I've got tears in my eyes.
Oh,
anyway,
no.
The room fell silent. My HR manager started to get the giggles and tried to cover his mouth. I had to stop myself from spitting my coffee everywhere. After a few... Sorry.
Oh, no.
Wait, sorry. After a few seconds, I said, I can't do it. This is like, you know, when you get the giggles when you're not meant to, when you're going to get in trouble. Right, sorry, this is probably boring for everyone listening. Right, after a few seconds, after a few seconds, I said...
I can't read it.
I know it's not even that funny the next bit, but it's just I've still got visions of him stood there doing handstand.
Oh, honestly, the poor kid.
After a few seconds, I said... I don't know how I'm going to get through this. You're going to have to tell me something sad. So I can picture something sad so I won't laugh anymore.
Our careers.
After a few seconds... Shut up, I've got it. After a few seconds, I said, that's very flexible. After a few seconds, I said, that's very flexible. I can't really say it. Oh, my God, why can't I stop laughing? Don't look at me. It's like, you know, when you're at school and you're not meant to laugh and then someone's shoulder goes and it sets you off again.
You can't help it.
After a few seconds, I said, that's very flexible indeed, but can you work nights and
weekends? Can you actually?
Shut up. Sorry.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. The poor kid.
He went bright red, realising his error and said yes, his body deflating like a balloon. He got the job and was a great employee, and he even got the chance to do a forward roll at the Christmas party.
Yay!
That's brilliant.
The thing is, you can't wait for someone to have a wee. Because coming back to the very first podcast we ever did, I would have wee anxiety. I wouldn't be able to wee. So this could be 30 minutes of me just sat on the loo. Is everyone just going to sit there on the Zoom or the quiz or whatever it is waiting?
Nah, because normally if someone's desperate, they're desperate to go.
Well, do you know what happened to this woman as well? The woman who said, I need a wee now. She said she did accidentally answer a call once while saying the words, how the F do I decline this? Oh, hello, lovely to see you.
Oh, no.
Ah, that's good. I like that. But for your wee anxiety, Steph, maybe the thing to do is paint a little nice background, take it upstairs and start the meeting sitting on the toilet. And just put your background behind you. Nobody will ever know you're there. And then just cough.
Until the moment
comes.
Yeah, because then how do you wipe?
Oh, please don't ever sit on the toilet.
Everyone would see you wiping.
Yeah, no.
And then what happens if you forget and then you get up and everyone sees your muff?
Oh, God.
I've lost you. You're both like so disgusted at the thought of my muff.
Have we froze, Jeff?
Internet connection. Next week.
Steph, honestly, I've got no words for that.
I'll move on, eh? So the consultant told me he'd write me a prescription for elastic stockings, which would help a great deal. He gave me a slip of paper and told me to go and get measured during my lunch break.
I entered the appliance room, which was 6 foot by 4. There was a small desk and a patient trolley and chair. They were the only furniture in it. And a very quiet young man welcomed me in. I sat on the trolley and the young man had his back to me and asked me to get undressed. I obliged and took off my tights and my skirt whilst huffing and puffing, because obviously she's 8 months pregnant, and then sat in my knickers. "You don't need my shirt off, do you?" He turned round and I noticed his face was bright red. He replied, no, not at all. I just need your address. He then produced...
Oh, stop.
I realised he'd asked me for my address. I'd misheard him and proceeded to undress.
That would be something I would do.
When I asked him, "Why didn't you stop me?" he replied, "Because it was hot in the room and I thought you were making yourself comfortable." I felt sorry for him as he was...
Oh my God.
It goes on. I felt sorry for him as he was so embarrassed. "You've been mortified. I don't know how I'd cope if someone misheard me and took the clothes off."
Oh my God.
Anyway, word soon got round the hospital and people would some of the consultants used to say, "Ask Janet for her address and she takes her clothes off."
Oh, I wonder what happened to the poor fella.
That's brilliant.
Bad on both sides, isn't it? But I bet he never used the word address again. I bet he was so specific.
Ever again? What, can I have the details of where you live,
yes,
please?
What's the number on the door? Yeah. What's the street
Change
name?
It up.
And please, if you could keep your tights on, that would be smashing.
But
if you could just keep your clothes on.
But the thing is, from both sides, that's horrendous. Yes. So what do you do in that situation? Claire, this could easily happen to you.
Oh, it could easily be me. What? And if you're pregnant, I know this at the moment, you are a little bit not fully with it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and also, you have to take your clothes off quite a lot when you're pregnant, don't you, for all the scans and everything?
I was just going to say that. You probably wouldn't even second-guess it. You'd probably be like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Another internal.
Yeah, and you do. You soon lose your embarrassment when you're pregnant, because you're just like, that's it.
You do. Bam. So you just probably think, oh, here we go.
Yeah. Oh, God, but then that poor lad, what do you do if you're him?
Well, the one thing you definitely do not want to do in that situation, if you're the fella, is try and even things up and drop your pants. I'd like to end the podcast with another rendition, please, of what was the Newcastle song?
Go on. Try and do the email address in the tune of the Newcastle United song.
It's very difficult because I keep forgetting the bloody email address, don't I?
Not bad for a Monday at hotmail.com. Send us your stories.
I can't. I kind of get it in the end.
You can try. You can try.
I don't think I can, Jess.
There's no... look in the dictionary. No such word as can't.
N. You see, I've done it wrong.
N and an O and a T and a B and an A and a D.
Oh, you mean like that?
But, yeah.
What do you think she meant?
Go on. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
N and an O and a T and a B and an A and a D and an A and an O.
Not bad. Oh, yeah.
I was on a roll there.
N and an O and a T and a B and an A. N and an O and an R. Anyway, I hate Newcastle United.
What?
I can't sing this song like this.
Anyway,
I'm a Borough girl.
Not bad for Monday at hotmail.com.
Thanks. Right, come on, should we have a drink?
Let's go.
Oh, God, please.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.